Close your eyes and don't try to hide.
Or a silly spook may sit by your side,
shrouded in a dark disguise.
They pretend to terrorize when the ghosts come out to socialize.
Welcome, foolish mortals. You have stumbled into the graveyard and discovered the Grim Gritty Guys, Walt Disney World Planning Podcast. We are your ghost hosts this evening. I'm Matt.
I'm Derek.
I'm Craig.
Please stay calm. The room is not actually stretching. Go ahead and pull down those safety bars, because we won't be doing that for you.
What?
This is episode milestone, episode 91. Guys, I was 5 years old in 1991. Great year.
I graduated high 91. School in 91, Matthew.
Did you?
Yep.
Man. I would have been, what, 12? I would have been 12.
I was actually 12 when I graduated, too. I'm a childhood prodigy.
Doogie Howser.
But you know what? I'm glad that Craig is getting on up there in years, because it means we're all the closer to That's Tokyo. Right.
Tokyo
2023.
What happens in 2020 or 2021?
Disneyland.
Why does Disneyland gets a rough voice?
I mean, we could go to Disneyland now, I guess.
Yeah.
Okay, well, this is a fun bonus Thursday show, and we are going to be talking about, as you could see in the title, what we find to be underrated at Walt Disney World. You know what? I think we're underrated in the grand scheme of podcasts, guys.
We may be very well.
Yeah, especially in our own minds.
I mean, we're just glad to be rated.
We may be overrated in our own minds.
That's true.
We're just glad to be rated. Rated R. Okay, not hardly. So, guys, we're going to go through some different categories here, and listeners at home, feel free to play along. We are going to be talking about what we find to be the most underrated thing in a number of different categories, and we're going to go ahead and get the ball rolling here down the hill of emotion.
Rolling.
Most underrated ride in all of Walt Disney World. Mm. The most underrated ride.
Wow, you start off with the toughest one.
So we're going to start with Craig.
Oh, thanks,
Craig. What do you find to be the most underrated ride in Walt Disney World? If you go back to one of our episodes, I think episode 47, 49, both of them, we ranked every ride.
We like to rank.
In Walt Disney World. And some of us felt strongly that some of those weren't in the proper place. But, Craig, what do you find to be the most underrated ride in all of Walt Disney World? One that doesn't get enough coverage. And let's say this too, Derek. We listen to a lot of Disney podcasts.
We do.
We watch some Disney vlogs.
Yep.
We read a lot of Disney blogs. And
number one on our list and in our hearts, EZWDW.
And, you know, certain things are popular in the Disney communities, and some of them get hated on a little bit too much. And so we are here to be a voice for the voiceless today of those who are ranked lowly. Craig, most underrated ride?
Toad's Wild Ride. No, I'm joking. I just said that for our
Said it.
For our listener, for our listener Clint.
Did you just call our listener
loser? Loser Clint. Well, listener Clint.
He just called him. Clint, we don't think you're a loser. Derek and I don't. That's Craig.
Sorry, Clint. That was nothing personal. Probably going to be, if I had a choice, probably the most underrated ride would be...
Derek, while Craig ponders this, what say you?
What say I? Some may not feel, or may feel that this is not really underrated, but I do, even though it is a mountain. I feel that Big Thunder Mountain is underrated.
Really?
Because I think Space Mountain and Splash Mountain get a lot of love. And I think that Big Thunder is probably my second favorite mountain behind Splash Mountain. And so
it also gets overshadowed with the Seven Dwarfs Mountain.
It does. So I think Big Thunder Mountain is underrated.
Interesting choice, Derek.
Agree to disagree?
I agree. I think it's, I don't think Big Thunder Mountain immediately jumped to my mind just because it is still a very popular ride. But I think you're right. I think it does get looked past a lot of times because of the other things that are in Magic Kingdom. So good answer.
Ha! I'm going to say probably, as I think about all the lists, think about all the different rides, it depends on who you are, whether it's overlooked or not. But I think this one is overlooked because it's not a top attraction you go racing to. But for me, it's one of my favorites. There's so many details and so many things that every time you go, you see something a little different. And that's the Haunted Mansion. I mean, it's a big ride. Do you think that's underrated? I mean, I think a lot of people, that's not where you're racing to, the first ride.
Yeah, I think the mainstream Disney family, or the mainstream family going, I think the typical family that goes to Walt Disney World probably doesn't have it high on their list of priorities. I think you're right about
that.
And I
think it's underrated because, again, it's original. It comes back to a lot of Walt's ideas going into it, as well as a lot of the older Imagineers. But just so much detail and different things as you look at it and really understand what went into the whole thing. I think it's one of the, I was going to say Pirates with it because I think they're both kind of hand in hand where they're a little bit overlooked because of the newer things.
Yeah, I agree. And like you said, there's a number of different ways you can look at underrated. I think for me, what immediately came to mind was I was thinking of rides that typically don't get a lot of love, period. And for me, a ride that I enjoy riding that does, I mean, I always have a good time on it, that does get a lot of hate is Primeval Whirl. I mean, when we rode it, we had a blast.
Right.
At least you and I did, Craig. I can't speak for Derek. But I think it's a fun ride. I can see it as one when my boys are big enough to ride it that they will just absolutely love. So I think it's a fun ride. Is it that comfortable? No, not at all. But I think it has its moments. As far as kind of the way you guys looked at it, I think Star Tours is heavily underrated just because it's in a park where you've got Tower of Terror and Rock and Roller Coaster and Toy Story Mania and Slinky Dog now. And it's kind of over there on the other side of the park, kind of tucked away, which isn't going to be the case for much longer. But I think Star Tours kind of gets forgotten, and it's a phenomenal ride, and it's always different. It has a bunch of different combinations. So Star Tours in terms of the popular rides that I think are underrated, and then Primeval Whirl for ones that are just overlooked.
Well, the one I kind of throw in there, but I think it is a popular ride because there's always, a lot of times there's a ride, is Spaceship Earth. I don't think it's a have to break your neck to get over there to ride it type of ride, but for me, I love it. I really enjoy it. It's going to be interesting to see what they do to it with a two-year being down and what update. I hope they don't totally change it all because there's a lot of stuff in there that just, it's a lot of fun. It's a lot of, you can smell the burning smoke, burning fire right now.
What if they actually turned it into a golf ball instead of a geodesic sphere?
Sphere. So, I think there's several like that. I'm surprised, Matthew, you didn't mention Cali River Rapids. I'm surprised you didn't mention that.
I think it's okay.
It's where it belongs.
I think in some ways it's overrated, but I don't know.
That's another show.
Spoiler alert. Any other underrated rides that jump off the top of y'all's head? It's interesting that for the most part we focused on popular rides, but we think that they're still great rides.
I guess it's just my nostalgia, but I'd also throw I throw Jungle Cruise in there.
I thought he wasn't nostalgic anymore.
I still am. I just.
He can't look at it
differently. Jungle Cruise, again, after you've ridden it a time or two, you've got it. But still, it's such a unique ride and something that is just overlooked sometimes.
I'm going to throw another one in there from Magic Kingdom that I did not ride for a very long time, and we finally rode it this summer, and that was a Main Street vehicle. I had never ridden a Main Street vehicle. And you think, well, it's just a slow-moving vehicle up Main Street. But there's something cool about sitting in that car and being chauffeured to the opposite. Now, I think going away from the castle, it wouldn't be as fun. But that little chauffeur ride we had to ourselves while all these hordes of other people are walking, I think the Main Street vehicle is very overlooked. And a lot of people don't even know it's there. And I think it's definitely worth doing.
Do you know what the Main Street vehicle does? For your common folk, it makes them feel like a DVC renter.
Absolutely.
I mean,
you step into those and you think, man, I'm renting points right now.
this is what it feels like to be a DVC renter. So, I mean, it's just amazing.
I can't believe it, but it did make me feel like that.
Yes. Well, we already felt like that.
So. Well, that's yes. true.
Because we were DVC renters when we wrote in.
I don't want to mention one. And this may surprise both of you. Grand Fiesta Tour. It's a nice, relaxing ride. I know it's mostly screens, but I really enjoy being able to relax.
Yeah.
And just ride the water and watch Donald. It's just fun.
And it rarely has a wait.
Rarely has a wait. Yes.
It's a good one.
So, just to get Epcot involved in it.
No. Oh, and they thank you. I think that's it, guys. That's all I can think of right away.
Next category, most underrated Walt Disney World hotel. What is the most underrated Walt Disney World hotel in your opinion? You want me to start it off?
Absolutely.
I think one of the most underrated hotels in Walt Disney World is Caribbean Beach Resort. And obviously it's in a state of flux now, and we've said a lot about that on the show in the past. But I remember when we first stayed there.
They're all done though, right?
I don't know.
With
they're
their
close.
Their renovations?
I think they've definitely made a lot of improvements, and we'll get into that in a later show, I'm sure. That's a research trip that we need to take.
Absolutely.
Right after we stay in the tents.
Rachel, are you listening?
But there, every experience I've had at Caribbean Beach was a good experience. Obviously, you have to know that it's a big resort and that it's spread out and there's multiple bus stops. But
seven.
Yes, there's a lot of them. But, you know, a lot of times online you'll look and it's ranked by most people as the worst of the moderates. But our family always had a good experience there. And if you're looking for opportunities to relax, they can certainly be found there. So I think Caribbean Beach, which was the first moderate ever at Walt Disney World, by the way, I think it gets a lot of hate, but it has a lot of good things going for it, especially once they finish all these renovations. What do you think, Craig? Most underrated hotel?
You know, I have not stayed at this resort yet, but I know Derek has, and he can say more. I've been really impressed, and I really intended to stay at Coronado Springs. I think it is, you don't hear a whole lot about it, but it is one that is centrally located. Not a long wait to any bus stop, to any park from the bus stop. And also, what I like about it is a convention resort. So you may have a huge convention there, but most of those people aren't going to the park right away. Or you may have no convention there and the place is about empty. You can look online and find in different groups whether there is a convention going on at that resort, at the Coronado Springs, and decide if it works out best for you. But I think it's, from what I can see and what I can understand, I do want to stay there sometime, is Coronado Springs is very underrated. Derek, you may chime in a little bit on that too.
Yeah, I wouldn't. For me, I would call it underrated just because I think that the Port Orleans get a lot of love in the moderate category, both of those. And like you said, it's Coronado, you're not more than 15 minutes from any park, any of the four parks, and you're really close to Epcot and Hollywood Studios. You're within 10 minutes of those two parks. So it's really, for transportation, it's top notch. And
they recently did renovations there as well, didn't they?
Yeah, and they're building the tower.
Correct, yes.
Out there. I think it's the Riviera.
Sounds
something
about
like that. I don't know. I think it's going to be another is it DVC? I think.
It's hard to keep up with all that they've got going on.
I don't know, but hopefully we'll be able to rent points there someday. You know? So.
One day. we can only hope.
But I thoroughly enjoy that one, and Craig asked if I was going to say this resort, and I said no, because I think there's another that's underrated.
What is that?
Even more, and it's a deluxe resort.
What could it be?
I'm going to go with the Boardwalk.
Underrated, you say?
I don't think. I say underrated because just looking at what's around it, you've got Yacht Club and Beach Club, and the Swan and Dolphin. And then you've got Boardwalk. I would say the Boardwalk is probably the least popular of all five of those resorts.
I think you'd almost say that Yacht Club, I think, gets overlooked too. Just because it's attached to the Beach Club, and I think so many people favor the Beach Club, but really it's pretty much the same.
Right.
In a lot of ways, it's the same.
I look at them as the same, but just because of the pool, they both get the pool awesomeness to it. So I think the boardwalk is underrated, and it could be the creepy clown pool.
Probably slide scares that gets a lot of little ones away.
That does that to it. But it's hard for me to argue with location when you can walk to two parks from that location. So
yeah, that's the thing. I mean, you think about all the ones on the monorail loop, and everybody always says so much about those deluxe resorts. But really, you can get to two parks walking from that one. So I'm agree with you. I mean, I think those are a lot overlooked, all those on the boardwalk.
I wouldn't say. I think Beach Club gets a lot of love, like Matthew, because Matthew gives Beach Club a lot of love.
I do. I'd like to give the boardwalk a shot, though. I mean, it definitely has a different vibe, I think, than those other Crescent Lake resorts.
You know what? Also, if you're staying at the boardwalk, you can do?
What?
You can go get a cream cheese pretzel.
That's true. Right and there. You can go to Ample Hills.
And get a kitchen
sink. I
like
to call it sample heels.
You can also wear a rain suit in case it's raining.
You can go get a kitchen sink there at Beaches and Cream.
You can do that.
As a snack.
I did see the other day they do have now a mini kitchen sink.
They've had that.
Oh. Well, I haven't tried it yet, so I need to go
try
it.
You have not. You'd probably have to get like five of them.
All right, Dotson, what's next?
Next category is most underrated table service dining spot. Derek, do you have an answer? You are the food guru. What do you think is most underrated?
Well,
and this can be in park or out of park.
Okay. I'm gonna have to go with one of our first places we ate at on our trip, on our very first trip down there, and we're going in again in December. We're going to Raglan Road. I found it.
Oh, yes.
I believe it's. I don't know. I don't feel that the Disney community gives Raglan Road a lot of love, just because of a lot of the new stuff that's been added to Disney Springs and even the resorts stepping up their game with the food. So I'm going to go back to an oldie but a goodie with Raglan Road.
Yeah, it does get overshadowed and overlooked with a lot of the new dining options that they've added. But yeah, it's hard to beat Raglan Road, which is still around.
And you get food and entertainment.
True, very true. So, it's a pretty, by Disney standards, it's a pretty good price. Craig, underrated table service dining?
Oh, I've got, can I do two?
Sure.
Sure, you like kitchen sinks.
My first one is Beer Garden. I don't think it gets as much love as it could. I think a lot of people do like it. A lot of people go to it. But I think it's great, plus the entertainment. If you like German type food, again, that
and I don't think you'd have to like German type food.
You don't think so?
Rachel doesn't like German food and she likes Beer Garden.
Okay. I really thought it was great entertainment, great food. I really enjoyed it. I thought it was I think it's underrated. I think as many people don't think about it as they should, but probably guys, and this is with you guys, I think will agree wholeheartedly with this. And we've said this before on this show. Probably my number one underrated would probably be Skipper Canteen.
Mm, yeah.
I think it is very underrated because I think it's unnoticed. Yep. I think it doesn't have like a Crystal Palace where you see it and you know it's there. Skipper Canteen, you kind of walk by it and don't really realize it's a place to eat and you think it's small, but you go inside, it's huge. And it's got the servers I've always been impressed with. I mean, they're always comical. Mm-hmm. It's always a fun time to eat and just very entertaining. So I would say number one on my list is probably Skipper Canteen.
Now you notice, Derek, he said Beer Garden was underrated, and yet we ranked it number one in our Epcot table service dining show.
But that's our rankings.
That's true.
We're kind of talking about Disney community as a whole. We might be a little different than the Disney community.
We're definitely different. We are definitely different. That is certainly the case. The one that immediately jumped to my mind, and I guess it's because we ranked it last, Spice Road Table. I enjoyed our meal at Spice Road Table.
That was a good meal. And especially yours. Forget the small plates at Spice Road Table. Be daring and go with the tuna.
I got the tuna. Josh questioned me. He doubted me, but it turned out really good. And I enjoyed Spice Road Table.
I would definitely say it's underrated because we're the only people eating when we ate.
That's true. You're talking about getting overlooked.
We had to ask to eat inside.
Definitely. I'm going to say Spice Road Table in Epcot. I'm trying to think of some other spots. I think Hollywood and Vine at Hollywood Studios is underrated. I think a lot of people just view it as a character buffet where the food isn't that good. Our meal there was great. It's got seasonal character dining. So I really liked Hollywood and Vine. I think it kind of gets looked past, especially by people without kids who don't want to meet characters. So any other underrated table service dining?
I think that's a pretty solid list right there.
How about underrated quick service dining?
Ooh.
What do you think, kiddos? Can I say one?
Yes, please.
I'm going to stick in Morocco, and I'm going to say Tangerine Cafe.
You think that's underrated?
I think it is.
Well, whenever we've been there, there's been nobody there.
By Disney community standards, and again, this goes back to how you view it. Is it, you know, the Diz community? No, it's not underrated. But the average theme park guest is going to walk right past that.
Absolutely.
And not it, because there's no... there. I've never had to wait at Tangerine Cafe, and it's quiet, it's relaxing, it's got a nice little outdoor seating area that you can go to, and the food quality there is second to none. I'll say more about that when we get into our Epcot quick service battle royale here in a few shows, but yes, Tangerine Cafe, that's what jumped to my mind immediately, because people just go right past it.
They do,
especially during festival season. You know, festival season, they're just, people are so busy stopping.
I bet the quick service places around World Showcase do take a beating during festival times. I bet they can't stand it.
Yeah. Which is most of the year now.
Yes. What, Craig? 9 months out of the year?
Yes, just about. Craig?
I would almost say...
Almost?
I'd almost say Columbia Harbor House, but I don't think that's underrated. I think a lot of people go there. But so probably my number one choice would be, and you guys I think would agree, Nomad Lounge. I think...
Ooh,
that's probably,
or any lounge really. I mean, I would say the only one we've been to is Nomad Lounge.
Yeah, but we didn't expect what we got.
No,
you know, we went there expecting sit back, you know, just kind of get some snacks or whatever. But it was a treat. I mean, we were really impressed, and we would encourage you to go there and eat. And we really enjoyed. They had lots of virgin drinks. It wasn't necessarily all alcohol.
Mm-hmm.
So it was really a nice surprise, if you will. So I really enjoyed that, and I encourage you to do that for quick service.
Good answer. I'm heading. I know I went to the Springs for my table service dining. I'm going back to the Springs.
Of course you are.
For quick service. And I'm going to go with Earl of Sandwich. Again, an oldie, but a goodie.
Yeah.
And I could have mentioned it in the budget episode last.
I did.
You did? That's right. Probably the best value on property.
I think so.
And
good food. And a lot of food.
Very good. I mean, it's sandwiches, but just whatever you're thinking, just go with the holiday and thank us later.
Yes. Thanksgiving.
So.
Thanksgiving dinner on a bun.
That's. I think it used to be probably where it should have been, but now I think it's underrated.
Those are all good answers, I think. I like this show.
What is next?
Next category, underrated character interaction. This could be a street performer or a character meet and greet. What's your underrated character interaction, Craig?
Go with Derek's to his idea to start.
Oh, well, sorry. Okay, I'm going to go with the meeting that we did this past summer with Scrooge McDuck. I know Matthew and myself probably watched a lot of Scrooge growing up.
Yes.
And so I really enjoyed that. And that was a quick That was a short line, but he was fun.
And you are kind of a Scrooge at times.
I can be. Not today.
And don't forget Launchpad.
At Launchpad, yes. I flew in. I wanted to fly into the wall, but didn't. But Launchpad was awesome, too. I would. Maybe I'll just claim the whole Dino Bash party. Take
I
that.
I think
even
so.
Even though we only met two.
Well, but there's a lot of characters back there to meet. And I think it's I think it's viewed. I think something still a lot of people don't know about. It's a great. It's like a recreation of Camp Minnie Mickey.
I miss that.
Camp Minnie Mickey?
Yeah. That was nice and
easy. Would you rather have that or Pandora?
Oh, Pandora. Okay.
Craig, underrated character interaction?
The Norway Vikings. I think that... No, I'm joking. Those guys are kind of scary when they come around. Probably my pick would be...
You're going to say Jammers, aren't you?
I will not say...
The Anarchists.
The Anarchists. And it's probably not underrated what I was going to say. The Bird of... probably the best and probably the most underrated. And I don't know if you'd say this as characters. It's definitely not characters, but Voices of Liberty. I think that's something like an entertainment type that yeah. really goes. It's really amazing. They sound awesome, and especially in the dome there, it sounds. You can sit anywhere and hear it just like you're part of the choir. But it's really good.
But you can talk to them after the performance, so you can have that interaction with them.
That, if we had a vote for most awkward character interaction, it would be with the Voices of Liberty, I think. Because they're like, hey, thanks for coming.
And they always say...
Sorry, the listeners can't see me shaking my hand up and down at like a robot.
What I always like is they say, if you sit over in front of us, you can really get the full... And the people that, like us, just stayed behind them kind of feel like...
Yeah.
Awkward that
well I think too no well the most awkward was when we went to get our picture made with the Visa meet and greet at Epcot, and that guy was like, hey, you look at the camera.
You in the middle
people. One I'm gonna say, and this is one you really have to get lucky with, and that is if you stumble upon a character training at Epcot.
Yes,
the ones that I've had luck with it over there beside the American Adventure on three or four separate occasions. You do kind of have to be lucky. I've usually gotten there after a little after noon and a little after 2 in the afternoon. But if you can stumble upon one of those character trainings, if they're taking place, you can meet 7 or 8 characters in less than 10 minutes. It's pretty cool. And a lot of times they're rare characters that you're not going to get to meet on your average day.
Do they still do that over at Hollywood Studios?
The Character Palooza?
Mm-hmm.
I don't know. I haven't really followed that much in recent years. That's one that I tried to find on multiple occasions, and I never had any luck there. I did have a lot of luck at Epcot with the character training, but not at Hollywood Studios.
I've gotten to do character plays at Hollywood Studios. I just didn't know if they still do it or not.
Another one, too, and this isn't character interaction, but I think anytime you're at a table service restaurant and you can engage with the waiter or waitress that's serving you, I think a lot of times those are some of the best interactions that you're going to have with Disney cast members, because a lot of times they want to get to know you and they want to take an interest in them, and you'll learn a lot and form a relationship. And you know, that's why we send out a lot of cast compliments, like we did, Craig, at Skipper Canteen.
Yes, and well deserving. He was very, very funny, but also just sat and talked to him. I mean, it wasn't empty, but it wasn't overly crowded either, so he made that opportunity and made that
did he ever get that cast compliment?
Yeah,
I hope he did.
I think,
and he was just as much of a character as say a Mickey
as
Mouse
as a skipper on the ride.
Yeah,
so that was, I think a lot of times in your dining environments, those waiters, those character interactions can be great. Last one, people, most underrated snack in Walt Disney World. We're going back to the dining front here.
Snacks.
What's your most underrated snack?
I'm going to say this because I've not seen this at a whole lot of places. We enjoy the icy drinks. And so I'm going back over to Casey's Corner to get the mint julep slushy.
Look at you.
I've not noticed it at a whole lot of, on a whole lot of social media or anything. So.
Yeah.
I'm going to say that's underrated. We love icy snacks.
Valid answer.
And I may be the only one that's had one of those out of 4,000 people.
Now, you guys are probably expecting me either to say the kitchen sink. You're probably also expecting me to say the cream cheese pretzel. But no, I will not give you all the pleasure of saying either of those. Instead, I will say that probably any ice cream whatsoever from France. Because it's...
He's taking the whole store.
It's
taking the whole country.
It's homemade.
No, it's there's fresh. Still, there's still the patisserie.
But he said any ice cream in France.
The ice cream?
Well, okay, fair enough. You think it's underrated?
I think so. I think it's something you walk on by it and wouldn't get it because you think it's just an ice cream place. Derek, I was surprised you didn't say the fruit and Nutella waffle.
I don't think it's underrated.
You don't think so?
Because
it's a popular... but yeah, I would definitely go with ice cream. I think, again, you think it's just ice cream shop. You're walk on by... but it's very, very good, especially the roasted coconut. I could go for a sample right now.
I'm going to say one that probably gets... You can always go for a sample, Craig. I'm going to say one that probably gets overlooked just because you can find it at different places in the parks. I'm a huge fan of the cinnamon glazed almonds that you can find at different carts, where you can get popcorn and other things. A lot of times the popcorn carts will have those cinnamon glazed almonds. They're about $6, I think, for a little container, but they'll last you for a good while. I like almonds. I love cinnamon, so it makes sense. I'm not much of a glazed peanuts guy, but I do like the cinnamon glazed almonds, and it's a good little snack to carry around with you that'll last you a while. So I think a lot of because you can find it at different places, I think it gets overlooked, but I thoroughly enjoy it. I got another one, too. Over in Norway, I'm going to say the troll horn.
Gross.
I love the troll horn.
He's going to say the whoopee.
I think it's underrated.
Maple bacon whoopees. What was he going to say next?
I think it's underrated because it gets overshadowed by the rice pudding the rice cream or the school bread. And I think the troll horn is fantastic, but it gets overshadowed by those other snacks in Norway. Derek disagrees.
Wholeheartedly. Troll horn is... You can get them at Walmart.
Tomato, when in Rome.
Now, one that I'm going to throw in there just as an extra. And I think it's very underrated because... But for me, it reminds me again of childhood at Disney is just the chocolate-covered banana. Frozen chocolate-covered banana.
Oh, yeah.
I really enjoyed that. Matter of fact, when we went to the After Hours, what was that called, Derek?
Disney After Hours.
Disney After Hours.
Oh, did y'all go to that? I didn't know.
We did not tell you about that. We need to do a show on that, just to let you know about that. But we really had opportunities to get several different ice creams, and I always got those because it just, I don't know, just something about it just reminds me of when I was a kid.
I didn't like it. I got one, too.
It's okay. It's not a must get for me.
Derek, you weren't a kid when I was there and got it. So
that's true.
Take that.
Take that, he said. Any more underrated snacks, Derek?
Oh, we could go on all day.
That's true. What about a non-sweet snack, Derek?
Non-sweetness. I have to think about these because all my snacks always are concentrated in sugar.
That is correct.
Old age diabetes coming. Okay. I'm going to, my savory, and I don't know if I would call it savory or not, but we've actually used this as a meal before for Rachel, and that is the baked potato from Sleepy Hollow.
I didn't know they had a baked potato at Sleepy Hollow.
They used to. It used to be at the market over there, but they moved it to Sleepy Hollow, so... But it was a baked potato, and it was a fine baked potato.
Well, how about that?
In a theme park, by itself.
Just a baked potato.
Yep.
Well, how about
butter and sour cream? It's good stuff, man.
Any others, Craig?
I would say the another good snack would be that is not sweet would be tachos, and you can get those at either Andy's Lunchbox,
Woody's, I think,
or
what it's technically called.
Who cares?
Or Friar's Nook.
I don't even care.
Either one of those, you can get some good tachos.
They call it Rex's Box.
At Friar's Nook, they got choices of what kinds you want. Derek says do not get the Greek ones. Get the buffalo. I also like the taco kind of. I can't remember the exact name of that, but those are good snack to have. It's underrated. Matthew?
I want to name something that's not there anymore. Pot roast mac and cheese. May it rest in peace.
That was...
Which they traded the... They put the tots in.
Yes. So that was very underrated, I think.
Rest in peace, pot roast mac and cheese. Well, guys, it's been fun naming some of the underrated things of Walt Disney World, and hopefully the listeners, the next time you go, you'll give some of those a try. We encourage you to do so. That's why they're underrated, because you need to try them and rate them for yourself. So, guys, that takes us to a segment, and I'm trying to remember the name for it. It's called
Grinning
Greatness.
My goodness.
Thank you, Rob Zombie, for that that introduction. I believe Derek has the question today. Derek, what will it be, Captain?
All right. We focused mainly on things in the parks with this underrated episode, but what underrated... Is there a quick service or sit-down restaurant at resorts that you would consider underrated? All right, I'm going to go with underrated is going to be the Sasagula Floatworks over at French Quarter. Because...
Nice.
It's quick service. The people that stay there know about it. But I would really... If I were exploring resorts one day... That would be my choice to stop for a quick service lunch because of the high quality food. And I was pleasantly surprised by everything except the Mickey beignets.
Cannot argue with you there. I think they have a great selection of items, a wide variety, high quality too, and a relaxing atmosphere. So did you say this was just quick service or can it be table service?
Both.
Either one.
Okay, guys, I am going to say, and this is kind of a twofold here, but it's either one. At the Polynesian, I would go with Kona Cafe or Kona Island, either one.
Oh, yeah.
The Kona Island, I really enjoyed. We were there one time and Misty went over to get a massage at, what is the name of the...
Senses Spa?
Senses, yes. Missy went over to get a massage at Senses, and I went over to Polynesian and just sat there at the Kona Island and had sushi, and really, really good sushi for a walk up. You sit down, they make it there fresh, and so that, and we've ate at the Kona Cafe together, and it was really, really good. So I would say those are probably underrated for the most part because you don't think about going to Polynesian for that. You go over there for Ohana. So
I'm going to go with one that is popular in the Diz community. The Disney online community, but one that, again, your average vacationer is going to overlook and a lot of people forget about it, Sanaa over at Animal Kingdom Lodge. I don't think either of you have ever eaten there, correct?
I have not.
I think I have.
Have you? Or I know you've eaten at Boma.
Maybe that's what I'm thinking of.
But I love Sanaa. That's another place that we have to go at some point in the future. It's good. Great views, great food. Get to see a beautiful resort. So, yes, Sanaa.
I like it.
Well, guys, underrated Disney. It's been fun.
It has.
But we got to get out of here.
Time to go. It's a long episode.
We do want to thank our listener, Andrew Greer, who recently got back from Walt Disney World. He was there over Thanksgiving. And Andrew had kind of stayed in touch with some of us while he was there.
Not me.
He did. Sorry. Does he have your number?
He does not.
He stayed in touch with two of us.
He does.
Thanks, Andrew.
He did let me know there were some big crowds there. Of course, it was Thanksgiving. But he said to us on Twitter, big thanks to Grim Grinning Guys for their Walt Disney World planning help. The crowds have been huge, but we were prepared. Hashtag GGG. So,
and we need to have him on a future episode to talk some about that if he can.
Do an RTR?
Yes, Let's call him up right now. We did have him on for the pre-planning party, so we'll have to have him for the post-planning talk. This has been brought to you by the Grim Grinning Guys. And as you leave, be sure to
beware the hitchhiking ghosts.
And hurry back.
If you would like to join our jamboree, there's a simple rule that's compulsory. Mortals pay a token fee. Rest in peace, the haunting's free. So hurry back, we would like your company.
You know, I would say any pretzels, cream cheese pretzel, pepper jack pretzel, any of those, because that's normally what I would say. But on top of that, I'd also say a funnel cake.
This is savory.
Oh, that's right. I'm so sweet. I'm sorry. I'm sorry. I was reading and trying to figure something out. It's savory.